everybody. This is Jared Hamatash, an author of a bunch of short fiction books you'd go pick up. You Shall Never Know Security being the most popular one, but, you know, it's not the best one. But it's the most popular one. Check it out. I think it's like $2 now.
What a deal.
And it's Derek's favorite, although his taste is questionable.
Overall, it is the most stories that I enjoy the most. But if I was to make a best of, I think it would be pretty evenly distributed amongst all the books.
I mean, isn't what I described accurate then?
If
you would say it's the story, it's the collection has the best story, the most stories that you like in it, that'd be your favorite one, right?
And I'm Derek Sotak. I wrote The Field Guide to Nachos, Nachos and You, and Recipes for the Nachonomicon, all available at nachonomics.com, as well as the William Hill Patterson role-playing game, Barry Caesar Dreaming of My Death.
This is what you have to deal with years into a relationship, getting ignored. So don't worry, listeners. We have a slate of movie and book reviews coming up, but, you know, when life gets demanding, we just kind of have some of these small thought episodes just to fill your needs while we're banging out the full analysis episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And by full analysis episodes, I just mean hours of us complaining about shit.
Yeah, where we watch something that's 2 hours long instead of something that's 2 minutes long.
I mean, yeah, this is like, you know, only 10 minutes of us complaining
about it.
And so this is just, you know, the horror zeitgeist is all about the new Munsters trailer by one Robert Cummings, also known by Rob Zombie.
Or Bobby Z.
So I guess my reactions, well, I guess the larger, I'm not a big Munster. I don't know anything about the Munsters other than I was surprised it only ran for 2 years.
Yeah. It's that, like the Addams Family, I feel are kind of like the same show. I'm sure one was based, I guess the Addams Family was first because that was like a cartoon in the New Yorker originally, I think.
Yeah. No, the Munsters, so I think they stole the idea for the Munsters from cartoons that ran in like the 40s.
Okay.
But they didn't own the rights to some of the characters being used, so they had to, like, you know, change things around.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is the Munsters was more of, like, a Leave It to Beaver satire.
Okay.
And it ran for 2 years, and it was actually more successful ratings-wise than the Addams Family, which I don't know much about any of them, other than the fact that Addams Family movies came out in my youth, so I'm aware of the Addams Family.
Yeah, that's when I think the only reason that I associate the Addams Family as being more popular than the Munsters is that they made movies when I was young about them.
And those movies were popular enough to have sequels.
Yeah.
And all this, and I know now, currently, there's an Addams Family film show coming to Netflix following Wednesday Addams.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposedly big news that it's played by a Latina, although Raul Julia played... I don't even know their fucking name. Gomez Adams. That's interesting. Why is his last name so Americana-y?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to whoever invented the Adams Family. Johnny Adams.
So I'm not... In my mind, I always view the Munsters as cornball bullshit.
Exactly what you're getting from this, from the looks of it.
But I will also admit I've not watched The Munsters, and I assume it's a pretty good show. I mean, it has a large following, or does it have a large following? I don't know. How large a following can a show from that long ago have been?
Yeah, I feel like when I was also a kid, that's the sort of thing they play on, like, Nick at Night when I'd go and see my grandmother, and that, and, like, Leave It to Beaver, and all those old black and white TV shows.
And everyone knows nothing good. Nick at Night was kind of a repository of garbage.
Uh-huh. Before they had 70 other TV channels that showed all that stuff.
So they did a Munsters, an 80s Munsters, which was actually a direct sequel to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to do a reboot of the Munsters, which was named off the address of the house.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of never made it past the pilot stage. And... So we'll get into the trailer, but when I watched this trailer, at first I was like, okay, this is a television show, right?
Like, because of how terrible it looks?
Yeah, because I was like, well, the crappy low budget makes some sort of sense on a television show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was shocked to realize this was a movie.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so set aside your opinions on Rob Zombie as a director.
Not possible.
Or your dislike of all the actors in this film.
Well, I don't know any of the actors in this film.
Oh, you don't know Sherry Moon Zombie?
Oh, okay. When you said actors, I didn't even include her in that category.
I mean, if it's a Rob Zombie film,
I thought you meant
like
actual actors.
Uh-huh. I mean, there's some people in there, I think.
I don't know any of them.
Richard Brake, he's in it.
Who the fuck is Richard Brake?
He was the guy that operated the bridge in Off-Season.
That is your reference. I mean, I just happen to have seen Off-Season.
I mean, he's in other things, too. That's just the first thing I come up with.
Okay. So, I was shocked that this was an actual movie. Then I was shocked to find out that supposedly this was a movie that, like, was supposed to play in theaters originally. Ooh, it was going to be a streaming and in theaters. And I just don't know who the... I mean, I know there's some segment of audiences that just, like, or at least back pre-COVID, or before movies became $800 to see a ticket, were like... I remember once... I don't remember even who I was with or what I was doing, but I was with some family that was like, they just, or maybe it was when I was working at the movie theater, but they were just, people would just show up and be like, what's playing today? And they would just like pick a movie. I mean, I didn't know people would like, do they just assume it's anything in the theaters? It's a barometer of quality that you could just like pick at random any movie and you'll have a good time.
I mean, there was probably a time where you could do that.
Not in the age of the monsters, no. I'll say that much. And then I was surprised. And then I was surprised to learn that originally, I think this was supposed to be an exclusive for Peacock because they also have the streaming rights for the original Monsters. So it kind of makes sense to have it. And then they fucking balked on this. And I guess in the age of when Netflix's stock is dwindling and people are up in arms about Netflix's price increases and they don't have any good quality content, the natural route to take is to purchase the rights to Rob Zombie's Monsters. So this is coming as a Netflix exclusive.
I mean, this is on par with every other Netflix exclusive recently, right?
Garbage. Yeah, but I thought Netflix's new role was supposed to be like less garbage and more high-scale quality productions a la that Gal Gadot. I mean, I don't know if it was a quality production, but it was like a AAA movie of like in terms of the amount of money they spent. Gal Gadot. What was that? Gal Gadot, the Red Notice or something?
Red Notice, yeah.
And then they just had The Gray Man, which is supposedly the most expensive Netflix movie of all time by the Russo brothers. You know? So I was quite shocked also to learn that this supposedly cost $30 million to make.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out A, how much did this cost, and B, what did he use to shoot this on? Which they did not.
A potato?
I mean, it might as well have been. Like, sort of back in the day when you could go and to your local video store and rent a movie and put it in your VCR. However, that movie was shot on early digital video. This is the quality that it looks like. So, is this a camera from 30 years ago he used to make this?
I mean,
because it looks pretty shit.
When Adam Sandler found out that Rob Zombie spent $30 million on this, he sat around and wondered how he could get away with such a swindle, where Adam Sandler's movies are just him and his buddies going on, you know, fancy vacations and tropical islands getting paid $60 million for it. Even with this, he's like, god damn, this is just
like, those at least like look like movies, though.
This is just embezzlement for Sherry Moon.
What is the embezzlement factor of this?
I mean, where'd that $30 million go?
Yeah, I do not know. The makeup, I would guess, and all the physical props. Like, I guess they built that whole house, which...
Into her failing fashion line, I suppose.
Ooh.
Yeah, so what exactly... I mean, I was just... You could just... I didn't even go just watch it online, and I don't know the reference point to the Munsters. Is this... I don't think the Munsters was as campy and corny as this movie looks.
No, that appears to be the issue that people have with it on the internet currently. That it, you know, it looks like cheap shit. And
my understanding,
it looks too goofy to be like the Munsters was.
Yeah, my understanding the Munsters was like, I mean, I'm not a big Munsters head over here, but I my understanding with people commenting seems to be like the Munsters actually had some sense of humor and like some comic timing and like actual jokes. Not just like this garish, campy nightmare.
Wackadoo cartoon nonsense.
I also don't... Who is fucking calling for a Munsters prequel?
Yeah, I'm wondering that, and like, I get Rob Zombie fans like his stuff, but I mean, if they're going from whatever redneck murder trash he normally makes to this, I don't know how much that's going to really carry over. The Venn diagrams don't have a big overlap.
I mean, Rob Zombie has been a big Munsters fan. Like, apparently, like, Dragula, that his big hit from, is a reference to the Munsters. It was the car that Grandpa Munster drove.
Oh.
And I only know about Grandpa Munster. Actually, my only reference to the Munsters was that Grandpa Munster was in fucking Gremlins 2. You know, that's all I know about the Munsters.
Uh-huh. Fred Gwynne played the Frankenstein guy, who was then in Pet Sematary later.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll take your word for it. Mm-hmm. And then, what was I going to say? I can understand how Rob Zombie has a childish affection for the Munsters growing up. You know, I can imagine why people, you know, as it's kind of like that middle, what is it, like starter horror, where maybe you like the aesthetic of things and it's a little bit macabre, mm-hmm. but it's not anything your parents would prevent you from watching. So it could be like a formative influence on you later. There's not going to be much overlap between Rob Zombie fans of his current films and this. Although, unless they happen to have the same life trajectory of a Rob Zombie.
Uh-huh.
Like, they grew up watching the Munsters and then moved on to other horror media. And then out of some kind of, like, nostalgia or devotion to their youth, they will give this shit a shot for their kids or something.
Yeah, like, or this is a double feature of, oh, the early film is the Munsters, and then you put the kids to bed and you whip out Three from Hell. Ooh.
Does Rob Zombie, I mean, not even to sound like an asshole, but does Rob Zombie, people like The Devil's Rejects, even though I didn't like it, but it seemed to be like his movie that people turned the corner on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the one Rob Zombie film I actually like is House of a Thousand Corpses, because like that is exactly the kind of film that I expect him to make.
Yeah, but every movie he makes is kind of the film you expect him to make.
Well, I mean, I think like that uses his skills the best, as opposed to, I mean, what does Halloween need to be? Redneck Murder Halloween. It doesn't. We've got like 19 other Halloween movies that aren't that. And so why even bother going that route there?
I mean, why does any... I don't really like his whole filthy, depraved,
boring
slog like, genre.
I could see if he was making some sort of like post-apocalyptic film that would fit in there. Or, you know, your redneck serial killers. Okay, yeah, that goes in there. Not my favorite thing, but at least there's a time and a place for that. I don't know.
I think the Halloween remake is the only movie I want to say I walked down on it, but I do remember watching the end, so I don't think I did.
Uh-huh.
I think it was the only movie I came the closest to walking out on.
Mm-hmm. Was it when Weird Al met Malcolm McDowell on that TV show hosted by Chris Hardwick? No, that was Halloween 2, I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, after my experience with Halloween 1, I'm hell of a lot not going to Halloween 2. Yeah, I've kind of tapped out on him after Halloween, so I don't know what he's been. I mean, I read about his other, what's the movie he made after that? The one that's like trippy, that's also not good.
31 was that? Oh, Lords of Salem.
Yeah, I didn't check on anything.
That was not particularly good, but that was like, oh, you are a real director. There are some skills at work here for making a quality product.
There should be a clause in his contracts that he can't hire his wife. Only because of nepotism. She's not a good actress. And the money's just kind of going back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're married, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is all part of his Ponzi scheme that is a Rob Zombie film.
I mean, there has to be some notice that, like, has she ever been cast by another director for a movie?
I did check in this because I figured we would get into it, and it did not appear she was in any films other than Rob Zombie films, unlike Kate Siegel, that I think also gets kind of blamed as a, oh, she's only in the stuff because...
She was in Valtrex commercials or some shit, right?
Yeah, but she's also in, like, I did check this, you know, 10 minutes ago. Yeah, she's in other things made by other people as well.
Yeah, she got...
So I give her more credit for that.
She got cast in Oculus before she was married to him.
Yeah.
That's where they met. That's where the love affair started.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quote me on that. But probably true. I bet again, don't quote me on
that. We just mentioned it many a time on the show previously.
So yeah, what else do you have to say? Like, what was it about this other than the... Like, I was just surprised that this was actually... the finished trailer that was released with an expectation that people would enjoy it.
Yeah, you sent me a text, I don't know, whenever this came out, last week, plus one day of, oh, the new Clerks 3 trailer's out, and it looks pretty bad. And I watched that, and it looked pretty bad, but at least, like, looked like a film. And then the next day, you were like, oh, this Munsters trailer, ooh. And then I checked that out, and that, A, looked bad, and B, physically looked bad to watch.
Actually, if you come to think of it, the Clerks 3 trailer makes me a little bit more depressed because it's so disappointing.
Uh-huh. I mean, did you expect it to not be after Clerks 2? Just not, wee jokes and self-referential humor?
I mean, call myself a connoisseur. I remember being a kid and when people liked Mallrats, and I was like, Mallrats sucks. I was like, Clerks is where it's at. It's like, even from Clerks to Mallrats...
Uh-huh.
There was that huge goofy transition where, like, the end of it, Brody becomes, like, a fucking, like, television host. It's, like, so outside the realm of any recognizable reality. Whereas I liked the fact that Clark was somewhat grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And now we were off for the races in fantasy land almost immediately. So yeah, between Clerks 3 and this new Munsters movie, it is not a good look for, what would you even call them? D-list directors going through the canon?
I guess. B-list director nostalgia films.
I wonder if this will be, like, if the Munsters community will be up in arms and, like, negatively review this just to kind of, like, give a message to Netflix.
I mean, do you think there's enough Munsters community to do that, though?
No, but I think this is, like, I'm not a part of the Munsters community, but I saw this shit, I'm like, goddamn, you know.
Already not interested.
I'm already, like... violently not interested.
But like, is a real Munsterhead gonna be more accepting of this?
No, I think they're gonna be less accepting of it. Mm-hmm. Although, again, you have to wait for the finished product, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, it is. It looks pretty goofy and campy, which I'm sure the show was to some degree, just looking back at it in modern eyes.
But it looks like a high school production.
Yeah, I mean, it physically looks like garbage. Like, what did you use to record this on? It's insane.
Yeah, but even $30 million go? Even outside the recording of it, the actual sets and the designs of the costumes look terrible.
Well, those, I think, are all nostalgic to the TV show. Like, I could entirely believe every... I think he built, like, the house one for one of what it was in the TV show. And I gotta imagine all the costumes, like, kind of goofy, were just callbacks to the show. So I'm okay with that. There's the bad choice of, okay, we're gonna run a remake something for modern audiences. Do we want to keep all the bad stuff that was bad, but kind of carry that over still just so it's more memorable? Or you want to, like, make a good version of this where it looks more realistic and less cheesy and campy, which they decided not to do here. And I think there are merits to both accounts, depending on what you're doing, but I think this here Munsters is the worst of both worlds for that.
When you're really falling into a niche Munsters remake in the current age, and you realize it's going to be streaming... Or maybe didn't realize. I don't think they realized it was going to be a streamer only until it was like.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
Imagine
if you went to the movie theater to see this and you got COVID and you died. What would people put on your tombstone? Your wake be like?
He was playing with fire.
Uh-huh. Lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas.
Maybe once they realized it was going to be a streamer, they should color correct it to make it black and white or something.
Yeah, I think that would also be a good way to go as well. Like, have you seen any pictures of how they had to shoot, I don't remember if it was the Addams Family or the Munster back in the day, like the colors they had to paint all the sets and outfits in order to make them look as good as they do in black and white?
No.
Because it is a super garish tint that they put on everything that kind of, when converted to black and white, kind of makes it look better. And I was wondering if maybe some of this, like, oversaturated color originally was so that it could be made in black and white, and then they were like, that's going to cost too much to literally press a button to change the color on that, and they just kept it as is looking cartoony.
Yeah, my understanding is when Rob Zombie, like, had an active Instagram social media on the movie, on the making it, they'd post a lot of black and white, and mm-hmm. fan reception was sort of positive.
Mm-hmm. But even that, like, a still photo of any of those shots, okay, yeah, I'd buy that. That looks fine. But moving around, not so much.
Yeah, and also, I don't remember there being any jokes in the trailer. Or, like, anything that would a non-fan of the Munsters, any reference point that any non-Munsters person would get.
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't even realize it was a fucking prequel until I looked at read articles about it.
You were like, aren't there some Munster kids in this, too?
Yeah, there are no Munster kids in this.
No, there's no Munster kids in this. I didn't even, like, I was looking up online to see, all right, this has got to be homage to something. And it was like, oh, this is based one for one off the intro to the Munsters. And I said, okay. And then I watched the Munster intro, and it's literally, like, the 10 seconds of him walking through the door that they copied and put in the trailer. Like, okay. What about all the rest of this garbage that's in here? What does that have to do with anything?
Okay, brainstorm. Here's your inspiration. He walks in the door.
Mm.
Make a movie off this.
Yep. What if he walked through the door?
So, I mean, that's sequel territory we're getting into right now, Derek. So are you going to watch it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I cannot really see a reason why. Like, I'm pretty mixed on a Rob Zombie film. I really want to watch it in general. let alone something I have zero interest about. See,
I kind of am interested in Rob Zombie film that's not, knowing it isn't going to be his, like, redneck exploitation, dirty, disgusting, boring. The thing about his whole dirty, disgusting aesthetic is I just find it, like, so boring. It's like such a boring slog of a movie. All his movies are just boring slogs. And there is something, like, he has a good visual imagination, at least for the purposes of his music videos, or I guess supposedly well directed, that it kind of would be freeing to him to go in the kind of more innocent direction and focus. Because he, I think, what was he, like, a visual designer? He started on a Pee-wee's Playhouse or something.
Yeah, I think that
there's
was
like
the
some
rumor.
Element of that that could be fun, you know.
And Marilyn Manson had his ribs removed so he could blow himself. All these things that you hear in your youth, I don't know if they're true.
Well, one of those is confirmed. I think he actually did work on Pee-wee's Playhouse. And also, Nirvana was a big fan of White Zombie, supposedly.
Huh. I would have thought that would have been... okay.
Yeah, why not?
I was just trying to think of, like, alright, these are both when I was a kid, but when did Kurt Cobain die, and when did White Zombie come out? I'm like, alright, I guess there could have been some crossover there.
Yeah, White Zombie was a band before he killed himself.
Uh-huh, gotcha.
It's not
but
the
even,
reason
even marketing this as, a Rob Zombie film, like, who gives a shit? Like, no kid's gonna go to the theaters to see this, which is, again, probably why they took it out of the
theaters.
Well,
actually, yeah, they can't actually go to the theaters to see this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Rob Zombie, he has a audience, right? He must, right? He continues.
Yeah, but I think movies. It's, like, people our age who grew up with knowing Dracula's and White Zombies and then sort of him as his earlier stuff. And now, like, what's the last album he made? I couldn't tell you. I'm sure Dracula or Burn Through the Witches. Oh, no, that is Dracula. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I actually
what's
like
the, what's another Rob Zombie song? Something about a ghoul, I bet.
Well, I know White Zombie. I'm not a big Rob Zombie fan. I like White Zombie, even though they're literally basically the same band.
Uh-huh. I mean, they're more human than human. There you go.
Black Sunshine. Mm-hmm. 1965. Yeah.
Yes.
That's his best song by far.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't really have much else to say about this. Other than,
I mean, I think we put more thought into this than he did putting the trailer together. So
I do wonder if there's going to be a course correction in terms of the trailer. Because, like, it does have an extreme... It seems to me it has an extreme negative reaction.
Oh, you think they're going to give it the Sonic treatment and put it off for 9 months where they go and correct everything?
And put Jim Carrey in it.
Yes.
That's all the problem. No, I don't think they're going to put enough money or time into it to actually make any significant changes, but they might release a trailer that is different. That's all I meant. Not like
yeah, but like how much of the film is not that? Like, is there enough material in the film that's not goofy shit to make a trailer out of that isn't just dumb? Isn't just like, oh, we're standing with no dialogue looking forlornly in the distance or something.
Find out for yourselves this September.
I can't wait. Is it the end of September at least? They couldn't wait till October to put it out?
Buy back that Netflix subscription.
Yep.
I haven't watched a single goddamn thing on Netflix. I can't fucking remember the last thing I watched on Netflix.
Stranger Things. That was the last thing I watched. And then Cobra Kai. And that was it.
So you sound like the audience for their garbage, then. Cobra Kai. I mean, actually, Cobra Kai is pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Cobra Kai is certainly a step up. Like, if they can somehow pull this monstrous thing off as, like, a Cobra Kai reinvention, all right, I'll give them some credit for that.
That's
but
why I really should have been a TV show.
Until I hear that
show.
From somebody that that's the case, not interested.
It should have been a TV show, because if it's a 30-minute show, someone might, you know, roll the dice on a fucking 30-minute show, a 30-minute monster show to see if they want to keep watching. No one's.
But then you got to make, like, six of those, which is going to cost more money than... Just one. Well, I don't know. If you make six of them, that's what, $5 million an episode, which is also ridiculous.
So, yeah, Netflix shareholders, I mean, this might be a good time to buy because I feel like Netflix's stock going to go down to the 10% after the fucking news of this spreads a little bit more.
Yeah, after the mini series they made out of that, Austin Powers guy.
Oh, yeah, that ate shit too, right?
Yeah, the penumbrate.
Did you watch it?
I did watch that because I heard it was a lot of stuff copied from The Prisoner, and it is so vaguely copied from The Prisoner that even I, a large Prisoner fan, could not even tell exactly what it was.
I don't even know what The Prisoner is.
It's a kind of spy show from Britain in the 1960s.
Yeah, I just always find I like, I mean, we're really getting off lost topic here, but what's the other, who's the other one who's not Jordan Peele?
Keenan Michael Key.
I like him, but everything he's in is bad.
Yeah. Like, he enjoys acting, he just has a terrible choice in the products that he works on.
Or maybe this is what he's offered, but I like him, I like him, but he's kind of a market death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty much it, and we will be coming back with some real episodes soon, so.
Yes, we've been talking, as we're both busy people, that perhaps the last episode of the month, well, maybe we'll do, maybe we won't do. So it's kind of a mix between back in the day when we never did an episode the last weekend of the month, or the week of the month, to now where we do one, and then now's the best of both worlds.
What is the benefit of announcing that?
So people aren't like, did you guys forget to put an episode up? I know you're off of all the social media, so you don't have to deal with any of our listeners anymore. But old Derek, who still has to keep this thing up running,
let's be honest, deal with Derek, all that. We wish we had listeners to deal with.
Oh, I mean, our numbers are surprising, honestly.
Really?
Yes, in a positive way, too.
Patreon time.
Yep, I don't even know what a Patreon from us would be. What would that be? We're going to record more episodes? We don't have time for the episodes we are doing.
Yeah, we're talking about doing less.
Yeah. Patreon is you get one fewer episode.
We'll hold off on doing less episodes. Uh-huh. But that maybe it's a good time. Don't worry, you might be getting discouraged about us just bullshitting around, but we will be back with some new episodes. And also, it's free, so fucking stop complaining. Come on.
Uh-huh. That's not going to stop anybody.
No.
No.
Fuck everyone.
Until next time, folks. Adios.